So we're here today to discuss the special blasphemy issue of free inquiry, and some listeners and readers may find this discussion offensive or off-putting, but to a certain extent, that's the point of it. So can you explain a little bit about that?
Oh, certainly, Avery. Free Inquiry is a national secular humanist magazine that's published here in Western New York, published out of the Center for Inquiry up by the North Campus in Amherst. And we have in our October-November 2015 issue devoted an entire issue to the question of blasphemy and the right to blaspheme. Now, in part, this is in synchrony with International Blasphemy Rights Day, which the Center for Inquiry and other national and international organizations are observing on September 30th. And as part of our participation in International Blasphemy Rights Day, that issue of Free Inquiry magazine includes the Muhammad cartoon that came out of the Draw Muhammad contest sponsored by the American Freedom Defense Initiative. That was the contest held in Garland, Texas, where a couple of homegrown jihadis attempted to shoot their way into the building and were shot dead by a security guard. It was actually an off-duty police officer. So there has been considerable controversy. This is also the same cartoon which the AFDI attempted to purchase advertising and put up in the metro in Washington, D.C., that caused the D.C. Metro to take the, for them, unprecedented step of suspending all issue advertising throughout the year. And there's been an awful lot of discussion about this cartoon. Some people are impressed with it. Some people are outraged with it. But it's very difficult to see the cartoon. You can find it online, but in terms of viewing television or seeing it in a newspaper or magazine, it's almost impossible to locate. And so, much as we did in 2006, once again, we're publishing this controversial cartoon because we think our readers deserve the opportunity to see what the ruckus is about for themselves, and because we feel that free expression is an extremely important value.
Now, you mentioned the 2006 publishing. That was actually the second time that you published an image of the Prophet Muhammad, if I'm not mistaken, the first in 1999, correct?
That's correct. In 1999, my predecessor as editor of Free Inquiry, Louis Vaughn, ran a cover that included pictures of Jesus, Moses, Muhammad, and Buddha. And much like those famous early South Park episodes that included Muhammad, nothing happened. The sensitivity was not in place around that issue yet. Now, of course, in 2006, Free Inquiry was the first U.S. publication of national scope to publish some of the Danish Muhammad cartoons that had been published in the Danish tabloid Jyllands-Posten back in September of 2005. And that, after a couple of months of muted reaction, belatedly set the Muslim world on fire. And again, we had a situation where American media were talking about the cartoons, but none of them would show them.
So let me ask you this before we get into a little bit about that response. What was the impetus for publishing in the first place, 1999, 2006, and again now?
Well, in 1999, this was just in a context of a cover feature on little-known, embarrassing facts about religious leaders, about scriptural passages that were inaccurate, things along this line. And we had some material about Jesus that a lot of readers wouldn't have heard about Buddha, about Moses, and also Muhammad. We had a critical article from a fairly scholarly perspective about errors in the understandings of Islam. It seemed natural to put an image of Muhammad on the cover, and as I said, in 1999, it drew no response.
And then, like I said, 2006 caused a bit more of an uproar. The magazine got pulled from some major bookstore shelves. In some bookstores, that particular issue didn't get pulled, but follow-on issues did. Can you tell me a little bit about the reaction?
Yes. As I mentioned, we published four of the 12 original Danish Muhammad cartoons in our April-May 2006 issue. That issue was pulled from the shelves by Borders and their subsidiary Walden Books in the U.S. citing safety concerns. This precipitated quite a pushback from the civil liberties and the online community. Andrew Sullivan briefly tried to organize a boycott of Borders, and after a week or so, they put the issue back on the shelves. The stranger postscript was in Canada, where this was shortly after the Chapters and Indigo and Kohl's chains had all come together into one mighty national bookseller. And so Chapters and Indigo et al. Sold the issue with the cartoons. Perhaps they didn't know they were in there. But after all of the brouhaha hit in the U.S. with Borders, they pulled the next issue, which contained no Muhammad cartoons. And once again, the online community and particularly the columnist James Adams at the Globe and Mail in Toronto took the bookstore chains to task, and they put the issue that never contained any cartoons anyway back on the stands after about a week of being made to feel pretty ridiculous in their national media, I think.
All right, so jumping ahead to this current issue, with a little bit of a preview for our listeners here, you wrote that, quote, too few Western voices still speak out for free expression, the freedom to criticize religion and secularism. Too many Westerners still murmur that religious sensibilities must be protected and that sacrificing one of our core liberties is an acceptable price to pay for doing so. So in that, do you think the issue today is simply about religious sensibilities? Do we avoid blasphemy and criticism of religion out of fear or maybe out of habit?
Out of fear, out of habit, and I think sometimes out of a misplaced political correctness. There's been a huge lobbying effort internationally by Muslim nations and by Muslim institutions in the United Nations and elsewhere to try and put into place a definition of offense to religious sensibilities that would make it impossible for any person of any particular religious or non-religious background to criticize any religion, presumably including his or her own. And, of course, this is 100% at odds with the Western view of free expression, where I am free to speak critically of your religion. I'm free to ridicule your religion as you are mine. Mm-hmm. And we meet in the marketplace of ideas, and we have it out with each other in words. And that, I think, that's a very important concept. It's an essential aspect not only of our American freedoms, but of how individual liberty is understood throughout the West. And I don't think it's either prudent or helpful to adopt this idea that no one must ever criticize anyone's religion. Because then the domain of religion simply goes off limits. It can't be discussed. It can't be reviewed. It can't be tested. And religion is too important to human behavior to be given that kind of a pass. We have to have the right to speak freely about it, speak positively of it or negatively, as we see.
Does the same go for the media, basically the people that have the power to put everything in the forefront of people's minds, in their views?
Oh, very much so. And I think American media, by and large, have been too timid in this area. During the 2005-2006 Danish cartoons incident, no major American media, no TV network, no newspaper published the Danish cartoons until, and now we're about 8 months after they first appeared in Denmark. Harper's did a big cover story, interestingly, after a couple of their staffers touched base with us for our experiences with Borders and Walden Books. Harper's did a huge story that was written by the famous Jewish graphic novelist Art Spiegelman, and he republished all 12 of the cartoons. Just for good measure, in that issue, he republished each one of them three times, and with one of the appearances, there was a review of each cartoon where it was ranked by 1 to 5 fatwa bombs in terms of its offensiveness. And it was just a magisterial analysis of the cartoons themselves, their cultural impact. And again, for Americans who weren't Free Inquiry subscribers, it was probably the first chance they got to see what all the shouting was about. And that just strikes me as ludicrous. I know that I'm usually a great fan of the New York Times, but at the height of this controversy, they ran an editorial explaining that there was no need to show the cartoons when they could so easily be described in words. And the editorial ended right there without describing anything. So, you know, I think these things are important. They're important elements of artistic expression. They're an important part of our religious discourse. The fact that some people find them edgy or offensive is part of what underlies their importance. And I think American media consumers are being shortchanged because so many in the American media are too timid to actually run things like these controversial Muhammad cartoons.
So now we've talked about a story so far that goes from 1999, in this case, all the way to today. And you wrote about how the September 11th attacks drove home the destructive power of Islamic extremism. And we just passed the 14th anniversary of those attacks. Did that event solidify the way most Americans approach or do not approach blasphemy?
That's an interesting and a very complex question. I mean, prior to 9/11, most Americans knew little to nothing about Islam. I mean, I think it's probably because of 9/11 that most Americans at least have some foggy idea what the difference between Sunni and Shia is. So I think on the one hand, it's occasioned a great deal more learning about Islam. It's also vastly extended the flow of misinformation. But certainly people have realized, and in a way that some may have forgotten, I mean, you know, there was 100 years ago, there was a good deal of violence in the Christian tradition, more recently than that, if you want to look at, say, Northern Ireland. But people had gotten out of the habit of thinking that religion was something that could foment, you know, serious social unrest. And obviously, at least in its more radical interpretations, Islam lends itself to that, as Christianity did at, you know, various times in recent history. I think people have become much more aware of the issue, but I think it's heightened both the sensibilities of people who believe that these issues need to be aired openly and of those who think that you know, they shouldn't be talked about because we need to respect their sensibilities.
All right.
And that's that.
Well, now, looking to the organization Free Inquiry and its parent organization, Center for Inquiry, CFI President Ron Lindsay writes in an article in this issue that no topic is off limits. He also writes that Free Inquiry would not be intimidated or cowed into silence about any claim, political or religious, or about any leader, political or religious, whether the attempt to silence is based on overthreats or rhetoric. So what stands out to me there is intimidation, cowed into silence, and threats or rhetoric. So as an organization and a publication, do threats come with the territory of what you do?
To some degree. I mean, we never had any, during the 2006 cartoon incident, we never had any overt threats, and we never had any acts of vandalism or attempted terrorism against the building. We have increased our security somewhat at our headquarters campus in Amherst, and we're hopeful that America will live up to its best impulses as it has before. So at this point, the issue has probably reached all of its subscribers. It's just going up on newsstands. It will remain to be seen how the vendors will handle it. It was a few weeks after we put that issue in the mail in 2006 before we became aware that Borders had taken it off of their shelves. So that, you know, a censorship controversy may yet arise. We don't know yet.
Well, taking a little bit of a look into the crystal ball here, what do you expect will be the response to the issue from your readers, from the media, the public at large?
Well, we've already heard from a fair number of our subscribers who are very positive about the issue. Of course, these are people who like what Free Inquiry does well enough that they keep renewing their subscription every year, so we would kind of expect them to like it. I'm listening with interest to see what the response will be from the rest of the world, including the booksellers community. I guess we'll know when we cross that bridge.
All right. Well, the October-November issue of Free Inquiry is due in stores this week. Plenty more to read in it beyond what we've talked about here. And its editor, Tom Flynn, was kind enough to join us in the studio. Tom, thanks so much.
Thank you.